Okay, here we go. We are at the bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis 16b, new Mishnah, Halacha. We talked actually, it's a continuation of the first one. So the Halacha says like this, Heichan hayu yishtach veres ha'elu. We said that there were 14, maybe 15 different bowings that a person would do when they would go into the, or pass by, or 13 different bowings. I think it was 14.
13.
And then there was a machlokas, so maybe it was there was a 14th. Okay, so 13. How were the different? And then they would bow when they would get to these certain gates. So what are these gates? Arba batzafon, arba bedarim, shalosh b'mizrach, shtayim b'ma'arav. There are four in the north, four in the south, three in the east, and two in the west. Connect shlosha asar sharim, which are all adjacent to 13 different gates of the. Gates of the Beis Hamikdash on Har Bayis. So the Gemara says, "Shar Deromim Smuchim Lamarav." The southern ones are close to the western side. Shar HaElyon, Shar HaDelek, Shar HaBechoros, Shar HaMayim. And those are all the names of them. The upper one. The kindling one, the firstborn gate, and the water gate. Interesting. The gate for the water. V'lama nikra shemo shar hamayim. Why is it called the gate for the water? Shebo machnisin sloches shanisu chamayim b'chag. This is where they would bring the water in for the simchas pesach shoeva on Sukkos. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer bo hamayim mefakim. He says this is where the gate of the water, it's called the gate of the water because this is where the water would come through, would trickle. I don't know why it's trickling, but in the future the water is going to increase, right? The Gemara is going to talk about that. Facing those gates were the ones in the north, which are closest to the west. I guess this is the order that is closest to the west. Smuch l'marav, Shar Yechanya, Shar HaKarban, Shar HaNashim, Shar HaShir. The gate of Yechanya, the gate of the Karban, the gate of the women, and the gate of the song. That's where they would bring in the instruments. V'lamanik Rishmo Shar Yechanya, Shebo Yatzi Yechanya Galuso. That's where Yechanya left when he was sent out to Galus by Nebuchadnezzar. Shebe Mizrach Shar Niknor, Ushne Pish Pishin, Chayulo Echad Mimino Vechad Misolo. The eastern gate was called the Shar Niknor, Shar Niknor, and the two, and it had two wickets. Not really sure what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. Minor doorways.
I guess they would close them with that. I don't know why they would just call them doors. Either way, they had some kind of closures next to them on either side. And there were two more in the west, and those didn't have names. So a nice little picture. Hopefully, you have a picture in your art scroll. But the Koran has a nice little picture of all these gates surrounding the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Mas nisin Abba Yosef ben Yochanan he." It's according to Rabbi Yosef ben Yochanan. The Amar Kenegas Shlosh Asar Sharim, who says it's adjacent to the 13 gates of the that these were these bowings were done at the 13 gates. Baram Karabanan Shiva Sharim Hayubazar. According to the Rabbanan, however, there were only 7 gates. According to them, therefore, where were these 13 bowings that the Mishnah mentioned before? We learned, in another place in Midos, Kiahidetanin Taman, Shalosh Estre Pratzos, Hayabop Sheparzum, Malchayavim v'chazur u'gdarim b'nei chashmonai v'gazur k'negin shosha esrei hashtachavayos. That there were 13 places where the Romans, sorry, where the Greeks breached the walls, and the Chashmonaim filled them back up, and they made some kind of gezer that they had to bow at those spots. I don't know, in gratefulness, in gratitude for getting them back, for not having those breaks anymore. Right, we had said in the Mishnah that there is this trickle of water that will become bigger. So Tani, so this pasuk is in Zechariah, mentions the water is going out of Yerushalayim. Tani, base kachi kadashim hey parochas kekarne sile v'kilai. There was a stream of water that came out of the Kodesh Kadashim, which was very, very thin. It says as thin as the antenna of two different types of snails called silai and kilai. Mina parochas amiz be'ach azav, out coming out from there. There was a stream of water that just got a little bit bigger. Kikarne chagavim, like the antenna of grasshoppers, which is a little thicker. Mizbech hazav arazaros kechushel shesi, from the mizbech until the azara, there was another. The stream continued, and it was as thick as the warp of a loom. Min azaros ad miftan abayis, and then until the threshold of the actual Beis Hamikdash, that was wider to the thread of the size of the width of a thread of a woof, right? The other part of the loom, kachushal erev, mikan ve'elach mi hapach. From there onward, it's like the it's as wide as the stream from some kind of container. Okay, k'siv hinei mai mefachim min hakasef hayamanis. Hayamanis b'seis ha'ish kadim v'kab yado v'yamel elef ba'ama ve'avireni ba'mayim me'afsayim. When the man went forth eastward with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. He caused me to pass through the waters that were to the ankles. This is from Yechezkel. So ad karsula. That it means that it went up until the water went up into his ankles. The pasuk continues. It says, "When it says Iberkaya, until its knees." The next pasuk says, "He measured again, 1,000. I guess 1,000 away, 1,000 cubits away, and then it was up to his loins. I don't exactly know where that is, but I assume around his waist." But then the water got so high in the next pasuk that he couldn't even bring a ship through it. Sounds a little like it increased exponentially there, but so my time of it, see Adir lo yaviranu. How do you explain the pasuk in Yeshayahu that says that a gallant ship couldn't pass by. What does it mean? This is based on this pasuk that we just quoted, which this is the end of that pasuk. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in. That the waters were too high to even swim in. You couldn't swim in the waters, they were too deep. I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe they were too turbulent, I don't know. Here in the Koran, it says it means that the water flowed so fast and high it prevented one from swimming. Okay. Amrev Chuna ba'astrin kar lishita shachona perish yada b'kirba kashi yafarish hashoch lishchos. Sorry. Kashi yafarish hasocha lishchos. In their place, they would call swimming sicha. Because this pasuk in Yeshayahu, Mahu Lischos, why does it say Lischos in the pasuk? Am Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Bun Mayin de Mismalalin Ba'alma. Because it's water that is discussed in the world, meaning the Sicha particularly means to speak. So here it's talking about how the pasuk means that the river was so strong and the waters were so high that people talked about it. That's why it's called Lischos, okay? And they were called swimming that also. Ksiv, that the Pasuk in Zechariah says that the water, the fountain, would be opened up for the Beis David, for the house of David, and the people of Yerushalayim for like as a mikvah. L'chatas u'lanida. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Shem Riyonis and Beis David v'yad Yoshev Yerushalayim k'shem l'nida l'chatas mekan v'elach meitah rabba sayim k'shem l'nida l'psulim l'chatas. So it sounds, so the implication of the Pasuk is that at some point it gets, becomes no good. Meaning it does work at a certain point for the Beis David and for the people of Yerushalayim. But after that, it seems, after that in history, it would seem that it's no longer good for a mikvah for regular people, but it's only good for a nida. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Beis David ad Yosher Yerushalayim, k'shem l'nida l'chatas, mekan v'ilach mei kitafrisos hein, psulim l'nida l'chatas. Another possibility besides just saying that it is good for the nida and not for the chatas is that it's like one running water down slopes and it's unfit for both a nida and a chatas. Somehow it was pooled in a more practical way beforehand, and then it became like it was rushing down and you couldn't go into it. I guess it was dangerous or something. Not that the water was problematic, but that you just couldn't do it. Oh, there could be water. This is one of those halachas about a river, that if the water's moving not in the same place, then it's hard to establish its kashrus, because you have to make sure that it's all whatever, it gets complicated into the mikvah halachas. You have to make sure that you have 40 sa in one spot, and you can't necessarily guarantee that if all the water is moving around. Okay. Aksiva Yomer Eli Hamayim Ha'ela Yotzim El Haglila Hakadmona. Okay, the pasuk says in Yechezkel that then he said to me, I assume it's some kind of this saying, it's a prophecy about the river. These waters issue forth toward the eastern region. Okay, so Ze Yam Shel Samchu. Okay, the name of the river is Samchu. I don't know why it's called that, but V'yardol ha'arava ze yam shel Tveria. So there's a lake in the north, in the Galil, that's apparently called Sachu, and it filters into the water of Tveria. Okay. Uvo ha'yama ze yam ha'melach, and then the pasuk says, it comes into the sea, which is generally, is here it's saying, it just says sea, but it's referring when it's Stam Yam, right? The default word for sea is referring to Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea. Al HaYam HaMutzayim, then goes to the putrid waters. That's Zeh HaYam HaGadol, that's the Great Sea, the Mediterranean. V'lam HaNikra Shema Mutzayim, why is it called putrid? Keneged Shtei Pamim Shiyatza Echad Bedor Anosh V'Echad Bedor HaFlaga. Because it overflowed a couple different times, once in the time of Enosh, and once in the time of Migdal Bavel. All right, so Noah's time, I guess they were used to having water go over its normal boundaries. Rabbi Lazar b'shem Rabbi Chanina b'rishon yata ad Calabria u'v'shnia yata ad Kipe Parbaria. I don't know what these places are, but one time, in the time of Enosh, it went out all the way to Calabria. That's a place, isn't it?
It's in southern Italy.
Yeah. Is that how you say Calabria?
Calabria.
Calabria. Apparently in Calabria, northern Sicily, apparently. And in the second time, it went until Barbaria. Barbary. Okay.
It's basically North Africa near the Strait of Gibraltar.
Okay. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Chanina b'rishon yatsa kepe Barbaria b'shem yatsa ad Akko v'ad Yafo. That doesn't seem like it's so far away, but it says it goes until Akko and until Yafo. Those places we know. Ad Pavlo Tosif ad Akko Tavlo Tosif. I went until, I guess it's a drasha on the Pasuk. Po means like Yafo. Okay, until Akko and didn't go anymore. Okay, I got it mixed up. Yeah, Ad Po is like Akko. And then here it says Ad Yafo, which is Yafo. Okay. So the Darshan and Pasuk to mean these two different places. This is a Pasuk in Eof. Nicha Yama Rava Yama Demilcha. That makes sense when you're talking about the Dead Sea in the Mediterranean. Because Bishvil and Miskan, the benefit would be that you can sweeten them when the river flows into these. These are typically inedible. The water is, you know, just not drinkable. And then when the river flows into them, so then it makes it drinkable, I guess, by diluting them. Yamadisamcha, however, these other rivers, whose waters are already sweet. So why would Hashem, I guess, they're asking about Hashem. I don't know what the point of that is, but they say that the what's the point of overflowing the waters into those rivers? Those rivers don't need it. Those rivers are already sweet. What's the benefit? So Gemara says, L'rabos dagasam, in order to increase the amount of fish. Apparently they didn't have a lot of fish. Pasuk in Yechezkel, close to what we said before, is that the fish will be of multiple kinds. Tani Amar Rabbi Shimon ben
Gamliel. Samchu no longer exists because of a very ill-advised project in the 1950s.
Really?
Where basically it was blown up.
There was a river in Israel that they...
This is Hula. This is Lake Hula. Samchu is the same as Lake Hula. Like okay. Hula was north of Kinneret, of the Kinneret, and was...
And they ruined it?
And there was a river from... And there's still little bits of it left, but they... There was a lot of mosquitoes around there, so they, in order to make it, to get rid of the mosquitoes, they sort of blew up. It was an Israeli project in the 50s, and... They decided it was ecologically bad years later. But anyway, it barely exists anymore.
I never knew that. Okay. It's just funny because we always talk about how Israel's so scrupulous with their water supply and they're always very careful.
It was one of these things like seemed like a good idea at the time. It's now a national park. You can go visit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's Israel's way of saying it's like a wasteland and nobody lives in. It's just a national park, you know.
Most of the water is gone because.
Yeah. All right, interesting. So the rabbis dagasam, okay. Masash. So then he says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Masash shalati letzaydan vehevi lefana yoser mishalosh meos mini dagim b'tacham choyachad." I once went to Tzaydan, Sidon, and there were tons of different types of fish. They brought me 300 different kinds of fish. Okay, I didn't know that it was such a popular thing. You maybe doubt it. They also have fish in Israel? Do people fish in Israel? Yes, they do. I had a friend who did that. I didn't know it was so popular, though, for fish. V'nir pu'u hamayim, that the waters were healed. The pasuk then continues to say, B'tzasav u'gva'av v'lo yirafu l'melech nitanu. But its miry places and its marshes shall not be healed. They shall be given for salt. L'melech nitanu. K'siv v'nir pu'u hamayim v'at amar v'lo yirafu hamayim. You just said that they were healed, now you're telling me they're not healed. So makom hu shmo v'lo yirafu. And apparently the place was called v'lo yirafu. I don't know why they would call it that if it was healed. Okay. I guess they will heal. I don't know. K'siv al hanach al yala al svasa mizel mizel kol etz macha lo yibol alehu V'lo yitom piryola chadashav yivaker. Continuing the Pesukim in Yechezkel 47 over there. And the rivers upon its bank on this side and on that side shall grow every tree for food, whose leaf shall not wither, neither shall its fruit fail. It shall bring forth new fruit every month. So the question is, what does that mean every month? Fruit doesn't grow every month. Tani Amar Rabbi Yehuda Lefisha Ba'olam has that tefillah also shish chadashim. Vilon also l'shneim asar chodesh aval. Asid lavo tefillah also l'chadosh echad. Vilon also l'shnei chadashim. Right? In the future, it will only take us one month to grow produce, and the tree will only take 2 months to grow. to grow fruit. So my time lachadash of yevaker. What does it mean that it'll bring fruit every month? So or lachadashav every month of its months. I don't know. Amar biyosti lefish of olam hazat tvu also lishish chadashim vilan also lishish nechmal so chodesh. Aval lasid lavo hatvu also lachamisha asar yom vilan also lachodesh echad. That he thinks that it's going to be 15 days versus a month for the two produce and then the for the crop and then the fruit. Okay, shekain matzina shasat tvu b'mei yoel lachamisha asar yom karvim men haomer. Because in the times of Yoel, it took 15 days for the Omer to come, so they could bring it on for the carbon after Pesach. My time or during Pesach, my time. Umenitzon gil v'simcha b'Hashem lokech kinasan lachem esamora letzdach avir lachem gashem mora malchush barishon. What does that pasuk mean in Yoel? Not sure why we're jumping here. Be glad, children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He gives you the first rain and the first measure in just measure, and he causes the rain to come down for you, the first rain and the latter rain at the first. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure what the question is. There was a drought, and the rains fell only on the first of Nisan. Then it says the fifth of Nisan. Also it's saying that it would produce grain very quickly, maybe. Every single month it would bring new fruit. Not to say that it took 2 months worth. A leaf for healing, that Rabbi Yochanan said the trufa with a tuff is similar to trufa with a tet, which means like some kind of remedy or something. So the food, he sucks the leaves of the tree that grows on the banks of the river and ingests their sustenance. The leaves will nourish as much as its fruit. Okay, again, Pasuk in Yechezkel that we said before. Rebbe Shmuel Charamar Lahatir Pesh Lamalan V'Charam Lahatir Pesh Lamatan. It will heal a mute person. It'll heal their mouth, and one person says it will heal the lower mouth, which is a reference to the womb of a woman, that she can have children. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Chad Amar Lahatir Pe'akaros. Again, for a woman to have children, and Rabbi Chad Amar Lahatir Pe'ilmim, a person who is mute. Okay, same machlok as different people. Umasan Matzafon, the gates in the north. At motz b'shash ala nuchanetzel kan ba v'yashav al lo b'dofne shel antochia. I assume that's Antiochus. V'yatza Sanhedrin dol l'kraso, and the Sanhedrin came to see him. V'amr lo he giyas v'an abayas hazeh l'charev. Has the time come for the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed? Amr lahen also shimlach yalechem tenu li v'ani holich. So he said to them, the king that I crowned to rule over you, give him to me as captive and I will go. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. I guess he's referring to Yehoyachin. So the Gemara says, Bav amr lo yachin mel yudam Nebuchadnezzar baylach. Right, Nebuchadnezzar wants you. Kevin shamehen kach nata maftechel shabes amigdash ala lagad shalhecha. I believe the Bible has a different version of the story that the children did this. But here it's saying that Yehoyachin did this. I'm not sure 100% if I'm right about that, but I remember Gemara talking about it. So they took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash. Yehoyachin took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash, went up to the roof. Omar lefan ribono shel olam she'avar hayinu ne'amanim lacha v'hayu maftechosecha musurin lanu. You trusted us, you gave us the keys, achshav she'en anu ne'amanim, now that we're not trustworthy, hayu maftechosecha musurin lach, we're going to give the keys back. Trein amarayin chad amar zarkan v'od lo yardu. One Amora says he threw them up. I don't know why it's in plural, but he threw them up and they never came down. V'chana Amar Bak min yad un talasan miyado. And then another version is, another tradition is that Hashem, somehow a hand came down and grabbed the keys. Kevin Shiro kol chori Yehuda Cain onto Amid Beis. Alu l'rosh gago seyan v'naflu mesu. When all the nobles, Chore is an interesting word for nobles, but when they saw what happened, so they all went up to the roof and they all fell down and died. I'm not exactly sure what that means, if they jumped or something like that. Hadehu dechsiv masagei chizayon malach efo ki alis kulach laganos teshuos mlea ir homiya. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Not exactly sure what happened, how they killed themselves, or how they died. Moving on. Mishnah says, again, I think the different version than Bavli. Shlosha asar shulchanos hayu b'mikdash. There were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. Shmona shel shayish b'Beis HaMitzvah Chaim. There were 8 marble tables in the place where they would do the shechita. Shalei medichna sakrav, and that's where they would wash the innards of the karbanos. It says here in the Koran, an interesting concept, because the marble would stay cold and allow the meat to stay fresh. Ushnayim b'marav ha-kavesh, there were 2 tables in the west of the western side of the ramp of the base of the mizbeach. Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel kesef, 1 marble, 1 silver. Al shel shayish nosin es ha'evarim ve'al shel kesef kli sheris. They would put the limbs on the marble one, I presume, also because it kept it fresh. And they would put the vessels on the silver one. Ushnayim ba'ula mipnim shel ha-pesach ha-bayis. And there were 2 tables in the ulam, in the entrance place, which were next to the, I guess, the door. One was one was gold, one was marble, one was gold. Also shayish nosnim lechem ha'panim b'chnisaso. This table is where they first put down the bread when they were bringing it to the Shulchan. And they would bring the bread out and they would place it on the gold one when they were bringing it out. Not really sure why they had to have 2 tables for that, but Shemalin Bakodesh V'lo Moridin. I guess while the bread's on one, you can't put the others on that one. Why would you in that order? Because you're going up in holiness. On its way in, you bring it to the marble. You put it on the marble one. On its way out, you have to put it on a more kavodik one. So you put it on the gold one. And then you had the main shulchan, which was made of gold. So Tani al shem kesef, al shel kesef, on the one that was silver. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Chanin matbe b'shem Rabbi Yochanan lefkan shel kesef mivnei shu ma'atiach. There wasn't really a table of silver because that heats up anything that gets placed on it, and therefore it's going to cause it to get moldy. So what was it instead? Okay, I'm not really sure what the alternative was. Maybe it was another marble one. I don't know. Lochin Kitani, doesn't it say? No, Lochin Tani doesn't say Zechrim and Ism Shinatsu Bevis Aminish Shakash Shek Shem Shayim Anich Osochum Kachayim Osino Sochum Shinem Alashim Nachochum Biom Alakho. Doesn't it say that the bread was hot? So if you're worried about heating it up, why is that a problem? There was a miracle that always happened that it would stay, it would retain its warmth. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Ein Maskir Masanisim. One does not mention miraculous events, meaning the fact that it could happen doesn't mean that you rely on them happening. And therefore, you may have to make sure that the bread doesn't go on the silver table. I guess maybe they had the silver table, just didn't put the bread on it. None of the Mishnah ever said they put the bread on it, I guess. They put the vessels on it and said, Bon kom Rabbi Yila, lo hayasham lecha mahu lanich l'shabbos haba. If there was no bread that could sort of renew it every week, so they didn't have any bread. I don't know why. Maybe they ran out of flour or something. I don't know. So then what would they do? You would keep bread there even if it was disqualified, meaning even the old bread was good enough, I assume. So Asara Shulchanus Asa Shlomo made 10 tables. 5 tables on this side, 5 tables on that side. Inside the hecha, in tamar chamish v'darim chamish mitzarim halo in shulchan kasher el atzafon. The shulchan is only good in the north. Shneimar v'esa shulchan tina el atzafon. Put on the north side. Matam alomar chamish miyamin chamish mitzvah. What does it mean on the right and on the left? El chamish miyamin shulchan shom Moshe v'chamish mismalo. That's referring to the shulchan of Moshe. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know how that helps that. the question. Ava Pichin Lohe Masader El Bishel Moshe Blavad. They would only put the Shulchan on the actual one that Moshe made. Shneamar es haShulchan sheralav lechem apanim. The one that Moshe put the lechem upon him. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Amer al kulan hayim esad shneamar es haShulchan es vaalim lechem apanim. They would put the bread on all of the different tables. Okay. Tani Mizrach Marav Hayunisunim Divrei Rabbi Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Bei Rabbi Shimon Omer Tzafon Vedarim Hayunisunim. They would put the tables east to west, and they would put them also north south. They would place from north to south, the width of the Heichal. Manda Amar Mizrach Marav Nicha Kul Hu Reuyin LeSheirus. Manda Amar Tzafon Vedarim Nimsa Shulchan Vedarim Umenorah B'Tzafon. All right, according to the one who says that. According to the one who says it went east to west, that makes sense because they're all usable in the avoda in the way that they put them out. So that works if it's east to west, because then you could put them all on the north side. However, according to one who says they were placed from north to south, so then the shulchan or the five shulchans that are found in the southern part, those would be in the south, and the menorah would be in the north, and therefore you wouldn't be able to use it during the avoda. Apparently, Hashulchan Nasan Mechzi Habayis Vilifnim. The bread was put from halfway of the bayis and inward, so I guess they could use it better. I don't know. Mashuch Menakosel Shtei Amos Mechzi Klapei Atzafon Menorah Kenegel Bedarim, and adjacent to that was the menorah in the south. Those were in the north. Those were in the south. Okay, not 100% sure, but if you have a diagram, you'll see what that means. Okay, Shkayach, we'll pick up with the Mizbeach, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow.
Okay.